Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Jesus said, "For the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Perception. Perception is how we see the world, how we see ourselves, how we see through God, how we see through circumstances. Perceptions are as varied as we are as people. We often see the same things very differently. But Jesus said, here gave us some strong advice when he said, the eye is the lamp of the body. Now, of course, your natural eye certainly gives you sight of the whole world. And he says, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. And he said also, if your eyes are unhealthy, your body or your life, it will be full of darkness. Now, why did Jesus say the eye is the lamp of the body? Now, think about this. I'm thinking this. He called eyes like a lamp or a lantern. Well, as far as I can see, lanterns and lamps put out light. Eyes take in light. So why did he call the eye like a lamp or a lantern? I would have thought he called the eye like a window, right? And windows see out. But he said lamp, say lamp. He said it because I believe this is why he said it. The word lamp is very strong because he's saying that we literally, through our eyes and our minds, we cast our own light on things around us. We don't just take light in. We send light out. That is, we send out perception. We send out, we illuminate things. And because that's true, then how we see people, how we see things, how we see ourselves is influenced by what we actually think we see. And so that there are people who are oppressed, not because they're actually oppressed, but somebody told them, you're young, you're black, you should be oppressed. Or worse, sometimes you're female. Well, you shouldn't earn as much as a man because you're now seeing, okay, man, somebody, these are perceptions. Somebody is projecting that on you. And then we project it on ourselves. We accept perceptions we shouldn't accept. Some folk have unhealthy eyes. In fact, King James says, if your eye is evil, that's what he said in King James Version. So sometimes the evil eye is projecting onto people evil things. But I believe that the Bible tells me I'm more than an overcomer. Amen. I believe that he said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. So then if our eye needs to be healthy to bring light into our lives, let's understand what Jesus is saying here. Let's get a hold to this. Let's make sense of what he is saying here. Now, I believe that, and I know we all should know this, that how we see the world is based on how we've been trained, what we have learned, our experiences have tainted our perception. My good friend, Elder Owens, he'll never have a Ford car or a Chrysler because he's got an evil eye where it pertains to Fords and Chryslers, amen. I've had some great Fords and Chryslers, a couple of GM cars. But point is, we all have perceptions. And so our perceptions then kind of develop our view of things around us. But Jesus said, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body or your whole life will be full of light. Say light. Amen. And so in some ways, we are responsible for what is happening to us. Even people who oppress us, we have to allow it. We have to allow it. We have a choice. And the choices sometimes are difficult choices to make, but perception is powerful. And now the things, the way you see things don't actually change those things. The way you see things affects how you feel about those things. So if I feel that somebody's wrong about something, my perception is they're wrong, and I may be correct in what I'm thinking about it. But my just thinking about that won't change them. I have to constantly be willing to change myself. There are things I cannot control. Don't try to control. I don't try to control people, but I can control myself. I can't control circumstances, but God can. I can pray to a God who can handle that. There are things I can control. Handle my finances. Keep things in budget. You know, we had a blessing 2 years ago of paying off this facility. Burned a mortgage 2 years ago. Smaller church. And the people of God here, we retired a mortgage of almost $800,000. Took a minute. But it got done. And the perception was we could do it. That was what we believed all along. And that is how perception becomes power. We have to shape our perception or reshape our perceptions so that we are not falling prey to somebody's evil eye or living up to someone's low expectations. I know this from our generation. And now, by the way, I am Arlington Golden Knight. Just stipulate that. Class of 1975. So I'm older school than y'all are old. I'm older school than you're old school. But one thing I do remember was high expectation. High expectations. We had teachers who weren't afraid of us. No fear. The white teachers didn't afraid. No fear whatsoever. I had a guy named Mr. Robert Urbane, English teacher, white brother, wore the same suit every day. Or it looked like the same suit. Maybe had two or three. Like Men in Black, horn-rimmed glasses, and very good teacher, very strict, but fair. I wrote a paper one time, a science fiction paper, and he saw it. Now, my habit was to come to his class after lunch, and I'm sleepy now. I sit in the back row, prop the books up, put my head down and sleep. Well, I wrote this paper. He saw the paper. The paper impressed him. He moved me from the back row to the front row, right in front of him, Mr. Urbane. And I became a writer, and I've written several books because of that man. Amen. Who empowered me. Expectations were high. And nobody threatened him. He never was afraid. We tried to make him afraid, never was afraid. I found out he was a Golden Gloves boxer. That's why he wasn't afraid. He could handle himself in a crisis. But his perception of me changed when he saw my potential and he saw my ability. And so he then took it upon himself to move me up, work with me, train me, teach me. And I responded, and I write it today because of Mr. Robert Urbane. Amen? So educators, you know, I'm sure you... the experience is the same for you with many educators, not all, but most, I'm sure. And all of us have had experiences that our coaches, our pastors, our parents, somebody believed in us. Somebody had a good perception about us. Somebody looked at us and said, that boy got potential. That girl can do this. And we did it by the grace of God. Now, perception is powerful, as I said, and sometimes we see things differently. Let me show you a diagram, two drawings. And the first one I'm going to show you is, you may have seen this before. Now, what is that? Look at it for a moment. Now, who sees a vase? Raise your hand. Who sees two faces? You see it now? Two faces facing each other. Right? You see it yet? You see both now, right? So this is kind of a, you know, kind of a trick thing, but perception works like that. Now, you know, those of us who are black power, you saw the black base. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Black power. It stands out. Another picture. Again, perception is powerful. Look at this. I see a young lady, head turned away, feather in her cap, and she's wearing a mink stole, her face turned away somewhat. But look further. There's an older lady in there too, looking down, mouth shrunk in, nose long and bent. Eyes look solemn. Do you see the old lady?
Yeah.
You see the young lady?
Yeah.
In the same picture.
Yeah.
Perception is powerful. Say perception is powerful. And we all see things sometimes differently. We don't see the same circumstance the same. People today, now we've been working with youth all these years, youth from all walks of life, mostly youth in urban areas, from the hood. I'm from the hood. And so we say, these kids are at risk. Oh, really? To me, they're at promise.
Amen.
They're at promise.
Amen.
To me. In my book, they're at promise. You call them at risk. Why? Because if they're at risk, then I can get some money. I can get money to, quote unquote, help them. That's why they're at risk. I need some at-risk people because I got to get paid to help them. It isn't wrong, but I think bigger, think better. These are at promise. That is, I can do something. I can get with them and help them change their lives. We all at risk, y'all. Come on, somebody. You're at risk of losing your mind. You know, all look, in these last days, stuff going on. We all at risk one way or another. So the perception should be, no, I'm at promise. The danger is real. The problems are real. But listen, the problem doesn't get better by talking more and more about the problem only. Identify the problem. Now, what's the solution? What promises has God made? What promise can I make? What can I do to empower those who need my help? Different perspective, isn't it? Of how we see the world around us. Jesus again said, when your eyes are healthy, your whole body or your life will be full of light. Say that. When my eyes are healthy,
my whole life
will be full of light. Amen. You know, light illuminates. Light makes clear. Light makes bright. When I was a young person, I went to art school, John Heron Art School. And went from Arlington. I was artist at Arlington. Had great teachers. Mr. Lentz comes to mind, and great teacher. And so I went to Heron, went to IUPUI, then, well, Heron back then was separate. And I was pretty good in Arlington. Won a countywide poster contest. I beat kids from Carmel and everywhere. Little black kid, beat them all out. Now my head's getting like really big. Swole, you know. So I was a big fish, little pond. Now go to Heron, everybody's good. And most are way better than me. I thought, whoa, how can this be? Sometimes we don't have the right thinking about, our perception is bad, even of ourselves. And I became a small fish in a big pond. But it helped me, it humbled me, it helped me. Perceptions are, we have bad perceptions sometimes. We see ourselves, we just, it's too, you know, we're legends in our own minds. That's going too far. But thank God he humbled me without breaking me.
Amen.
Amen. And built me back up again the right way. Now, I'm going to show you three video clips. And in honor of the Tech Titans in the house, these are clips from Remember the Titans. All right, I'm showing you three clips. Illustrate what I'm saying to you here today. Now, this first clip I'm going to show you is going to illustrate a situation. This is a real life story. Now, they dramatize, of course, parts of it. All movies do. But in this part of the movie, Coach Boone, the new coach, was hired into T.C. Williams' white high school because they had integrated schools. They were forced to integrate schools, so they merged these schools. And so they, now, of course, you know, merge is always one way, right? You don't send kids to the black school, right? Okay, it went that way. So then he was forced to leave his head coach position and become an assistant coach at the other school for a season. And this scene, I want you to see, it shows in life how you cannot control people, but you can control your perception and your reaction. So watch how Coach Boone handles the situation.
Who are you?
I'm Herman Boone. I'm the new assistant coach.
Well, for the looks of things, I'd say we got about all the help we need around here. Why ain't you outside there with all your little friends hollering?
This was the time that was arranged for me to meet with Coach Yost. I never miss an appointment.
Well, maybe you just better reschedule.
Coach Boone's school board made the decision to put you on my staff. I did not hire you.
Well, I came up here to coach at GW. I didn't ask the schools to redistrict. I didn't ask to be assigned to your staff, so I guess we're both in a situation we don't want to be in. But I can guarantee you this, Coach. I come to win.
Win? Coach Yost here has been nominated to the Virginia High School Hall of Fame. 15 winning seasons.
Well, I won a couple of titles down in North Carolina.
That's double-A ball. This here's Virginia. We play triple-A.
Well, what an opportunity for me then to learn from the best.
So how you turned it around? So their perception was bad. But he came in with the correct, he controlled his reaction. He squeezed that football, though. He set it down, you know. It hit him what happened, like it hits us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's a good example of how you can and must control your perception and your reactions. Now, the story goes on. We know he became the head coach. I'll explain to you in a moment why, and I'll show you a video clip from that scene. But I want to illustrate in that clip, again, that Jesus says, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. There's an author of a book I read called The Habits of Successful People by Stephen Covey. He said this. He said, we do not see the world as the world is. We see the world as we are. That's a pretty good statement. Because we can't change everything in the world. We have to respond to things, and we have the power to see the world as we are. So Coach Boone is showing you the way he is. Didn't respond to that ridiculous comment and demeaning comments from the other assistant coach. Now, in this movie, which you've probably seen, this came out some years ago, there are lots of stories like that illustrating how perception handles, or we can handle perceptions, and our perceptions can shape our thinking and make us better. We can actually improve and overcome and become better through the things we face. I believe that the Bible is true when it says, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. But conquering involves some kind of conflict along the way. There is no triumph without trials. There are testings we've all faced. We sometimes fail the test. So we retake the test. Like Israel went around the wilderness 40 years. They kept failing the test. We're called through Christ to overcome. You believe that?
Amen.
Another quote I'm going to share with you. This quote is from an author of a book I've read called The Obstacle is the Way. It's a great book. The obstacle is the way. Ryan Holiday, he said this. He said, perception is how we see and understand what occurs around us and what we decide those events will mean. Our perceptions can be a source of strength or of great weakness. Faulty perceptions lead to misdirection and disconnection. We participate in the creation and destruction of our obstacles. So what are your perceptions today? Sometimes we have created problems for ourselves by how we have viewed a situation, how we look at people. We've made a problem out of it when it really wasn't a problem. We were vacationing years ago. My wife and I were vacationing up in the Mackinac area up there, beautiful area. And we were walking around having a good time. And families, everybody's out and about. And some child about 8, 9 years old called me a darkie. Now, I didn't react. I just said, I thought myself, I squeezed football, right? All right. Now, I had no reaction whatsoever to that. I just walked on like it didn't happen. You know why? Nothing happened. It was nothing. A 9-year-old child saying something is nothing. Zero. It's a problem for him and his parents along the way. Ain't no problem for me. Walked away, didn't think about it. See, sometimes we need to just walk away from stuff. You got to find out, is this worth me getting into? Sometimes it is worth getting into. Depends on who's saying it. But a 9-year-old child is not an issue for me whatsoever. I feel sorry for him, for his parents. He picked that up somewhere. Kids learn all kinds of things. But it was surprising, but it was nothing. That's how I look at a lot of things. I'm not non-responsive. I deal with injustices. I speak out on things that are not right because those are real things. And sometimes our perception, we're so touchy, we're so feely until everything gets us upset. And that's not good. That's not a good eye. If your eyes are healthy, your body's full of light. Amen, somebody? Amen. So then I'd like for us to resolve in our hearts. We're going to let the Lord, through his word, through his spirit through growth opportunities, to change and transform our perception, because we want to see things through the word of God, because God is our ultimate reality. If God says, I give you peace, what do you have? Peace. If Jesus said, you're healed, what are you? If he promised to give you wisdom, what do you have?
Wisdom.
Well, why do you say, I throw my hands up, I don't know what's going on? Don't go that far. Just say, I'll figure this out. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue in a long-term sense. You won't just die from saying, I'm tickled to death. That won't kill you. All right. But we sometimes say things over and over again. We don't even realize it. We're kind of setting up an environment where difficulties occur. So then I believe what we say, what we believe, what we look at, how we see things affects the quality of our lives. Again, if your eyes are healthy, your body will be full of light. Amen? Let me give you a couple of keys to recognizing how to change perception. First of all, is to be objective. Say objective.
Objective.
Now, the word objective means this. Not influenced by personal feelings, interpretations, or prejudice. Based on facts, unbiased, intent upon dealing with things external to the mind rather than with thoughts or feelings as a person or a book. So then I'm going to see and perceive objectively. Keep my feelings out of it. Because sometimes we wrap our feelings up into things. And we think that everybody who looks this way or is this way. No, I'm always surprised by folk. I mean, both ways, good and bad. And if we can remain objective, we can really get the help we need. We can progress in life by not overreacting and taking the wrong inference from the things that we're experiencing. Say, I'll be objective. Now, the second thing here is unhealthy perception often comes from being what we call subjective. Now, I'm teaching now, so get a hold of this. Subjective. Say subjective.
Subjective.
It's based on feelings or opinions rather than facts. Should be placing emphasis on one's own feeling, mood, attitude, and options and opinions. Now, that's an epidemic. Amen. Nowadays, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You better keep that last piece. For one, you need it. For two, I don't need it. You know, keep that. And we get into our feelings too quickly and become subject. We're painting everything with rose-colored glasses. The first slide I showed you is in the bulletin, that image of the sunset through rose-colored glasses. That's the point I'm making there, is if our eyes are unhealthy, we're casting a bad light. And so that we see things in a poor, bad way when they're not that bad. We just need to step back and become objective. Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus is objective toward us? I mean, he knows everything about us. And chose us anyway. He knows everything I've done wrong in my life. What I've said, even against him. And he chose me anyway. He knows everything. Now, I got friends who know some things. You know, y'all are friends, right? And listen, what's good about being together, I'm sure, is to see how you have improved. Some of us here were a hot mess as kids. And y'all knew the hot mess. But not in smart part through staying together and holding each other accountable, then God has blessed you and y'all look blessed here today. Not perfect, I'm sure, but God has kept you all these years, right? Because there was somebody who looked at you objectively and said, you are a mess, and I can help you. Sometimes we need friends. The Bible says a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I'm just blessed to see what God has done among us who have remained friends and how we've survived all the struggles and trials. That's what God is doing. He is helping us help each other, and your perceptions help you help other people. By not letting what you see initially prevent you from going in and offering assistance. Let's say this. Next scene I'm going to share with you is another scene from the movie, Remember the Titans. And this scene is going to address objectivity, subjectivity. Coach Boone and Coach Yost are talking about a person. I want you to see in a good example of what it means when we say we should be objective and not just subjective. Now, listen, subjectivity does have a role because what you've been through informs you. I'm not saying it's always wrong. I'm not. But keep it all in perspective, right? So watch this clip.
Listen, about Petey.
No thanks required, Coach.
Thanks. You challenged my authority in front of the entire football team, Coach. Now, you think you're doing these boys a favor, taking them aside every time I come down on them, protecting them from Big Bad Boone. You're cutting my legs from under me.
Some of the boys just don't respond well to public criticism. I tell them what they need to know, but I don't humiliate them in front of the team.
Which boys you talking about? Which ones you talking about? I come down on Bertier, I don't see you coddle him. Come down on Sunshine, don't see you grab his hand, take him off to the side. Which boys you talking about? Now, I may be a mean cuss, but I'm the same mean cuss with everybody out there on that football field. The world don't give a damn about how sensitive these kids are, especially the young black kids. You ain't doing these kids a favor by patronizing them. You're crippling them. You're crippling them for life.
All right, good scene. So you see the mixture of objectivity, being subjective, you see both there. And it's interesting how coming together helps us understand really each other better and educate each other. Sometimes people don't know. They assume that, you know, young black boys don't respond well to being treated in a firm manner. But we know, and this is subjective, we know what we need. Amen? So it comes into play. And this is a beautiful scene. So, again, understand that we don't see everything the same. And in fact, it's good because it then lets other people come into our lives to help us to see better. The Bible says two are better than one. If one falls down, he's going to be alone. Amen. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Isolation is a problem that makes people fail. Isolation is not good for us. We're designed to be together. We're designed to be iron sharpening iron. You believe that? Now, to survive and thrive in life, you sometimes have to focus on things that cannot be seen. A lot of things in life you just can't see. You can't see God. You can't see God's spirit. You really can't see the training your parents gave you. You can't see a lot, but you must depend on things you cannot see. There's always an importance of knowing the Lord, knowing your Bibles. Some examples I'm going to give you from Scripture of people who learned to trust God. Moses was such a man. Moses, the Bible says, he endured by seeing him who was unseen. Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. The nature of faith is you have faith because you can't see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Therefore, the things you can't see, the word of God, the spirit of God, the force of training in your life, what you've learned, these are all things you depend upon. And Moses went out there not even knowing where he was going. He only knew that God said go and God promised to help him. Other example I'll share with you is from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus made a statement about the power of faith. He taught us that faith can move mountains. Now, not actual mountains, but mountain-sized problems. Mountain-sized obstacles can be moved. And the Bible says this. Look at on the screen here if you want. Or have your own Bible either way. Mark 11:22. Jesus said, have faith in God. Read with me, please. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So it's our faith in God that moves the mountain, not your faith by itself, your faith in God. Not faith in your faith, faith in God moves the mountains. That's the perception we should have. When a big problem shows up in your life, and they come, they have come, and more are coming, that our response is maybe a little bit of fear hits us at first, but because of training, we go straight to the Word of God, straight to the faith that says to us, this mountain, this can be moved as well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You may begin in a nervous place. You may begin in a shaky place. That's not unusual. As long as you end up in the right place with your perception of God not diminished. Satan shows up to make God small in your life. He wants to make God small in your life. He wants to make God small. He wants to make the Bible irrelevant by the size of your trials. But God is bigger. He's always bigger. Christ said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. If it has a name, it has to bow its knee. If it's got a name, it has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Not just Satan, but debt, worry. Yeah. Those are all names. Yeah. Every knee must bow. Amen. Perception is powerful. So when you spend time in the Word, you build up yourself, as Jude says, on your most holy faith. And when you spend time in the Word and spend time in Bible class and Bible study and personal devotions, all of this that we're doing is helping to build our faith. Another example, let's talk about Noah quickly. Noah learned to do this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, read with me please. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He was divinely warned, warned by God. He said, Noah, listen up. Yeah, Lord, it's going to rain. Noah's like, what is rain? It never rained. Earth is watered by a mist, the Bible says. There's no rain. So to be told to do something in preparation for something he never seen before, that takes faith. That takes faith. And so he moved. Say, he moved. Sometimes we move too slow. And we know God. And got a Bible right in front of us. And we're still moving too slow. Amen, somebody. And we see the problems and the answers. So he says he moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his house, and he condemned the world. So again, perception. Noah's perception was, if God said it, I believe it. The old saying is, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I say it differently. God said it, that settles it. Then I believe it. See, my believing it don't change God. My perception of God, listen, what I think about God don't change God. What folk think about you don't change you. When folks say things weird to you, it happens. You can ignore that, or you can say something like, well, your perception is not my reality. And that's actually true, isn't it? Other folks' perception is not your reality. Most time, I just don't say anything. But if you have to say something, you can say that, all right? Because sometimes folk have to be helped. You ignore some people, you help other people. And help sometimes come in the form of rebuke, of an embarrassment. I mean, God has helped me. I used to be a young person talking big, talking bad, and around my friends. I always had an opinion about everything. I don't care what it was. If I knew it or not, I had an opinion about it. As I was talking to friends one time, gave my opinion. He said, hey, Brian, yeah, how was that? Explain that to me. I said, well, you know, man, it's like this here, man. You know, man, went to the old you know man thing. I didn't know. And I remember at the time thinking, wow, that was embarrassing. That was really bad. Because nobody ever called me out before. Sometimes you got to call people out. I know you want to ignore it. I do too. But sometimes it's your duty with folk you know to call them out. It won't end well sometime. Amen, amen, somebody. It might unfriend you off Facebook or something. But I believe God does call us to speak the truth in love sometimes. Amen, somebody. Another example here, almost done. Abraham did the same. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, read please, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. My goodness. So he obeyed. Abraham, I want you to go. Where am I going, Lord? Can't tell you yet. Just go that away. That away, that away. So he went not knowing where he was going. Think about that. That takes faith, doesn't it? And God asks us to do the same thing, because God don't want to scare you with all the details. He just said, go that away. He knows if he told you everything, you wouldn't go. You wouldn't go. I've been to Africa 6 times on mission ships. Nigeria 3 times, Kenya 3 times, most recently last November. And if God told me everything I was going to encounter, I wouldn't have gone. But it wasn't so much bad as it was inconvenient. Amen. I mean, cold showers and lizards in the room and stuff like that. You know, not insurmountable obstacles. No Starbucks. But beautiful people. Godly people. Power of God everywhere. Amen. Everywhere. Power of God. Faith-filled people. Decent people. Decent people. Nobody sagging. No behinds hanging out. Everybody decent. They are decent folk. It's amazing. God-fearing people. My point is, though, if God had shown me everything now, I've been 6 times, so obviously I figured it out. See, once I went, I faced the challenges, but the blessings far outweighed the challenges. So that perception was locked into me. So I went back every time knowing there's going to be challenges, but the blessings of salvations and people being blessed and fed is way beyond whatever inconvenience I may suffer. Say perception is powerful. So Abraham did the same, and so can we. Last clip I'm going to give you from the movie Remember the Titans. This clip is Coach Boone motivating his players to come together. There were divisions on the team, bad perceptions going on, racial things happening. A lot of things with kids not knowing each other, and a lot of, you know, perceptions going each way about what a black folk like, what a white folk like, all that kind of stuff. So this clip is going to show you something. Well, the movie is giving what Boone did. Now, this didn't actually happen, I found. He didn't actually do this. He talked about it, but didn't actually do this. So the movie dramatizes this part, but I believe it's good and effective.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Wake up, gentlemen, it's late, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. All right, listen up. You will follow Doc, myself, and the other coaches. We're gonna take a little run through the woods. If you get lost along the way, don't bother coming back to camp. Just hitchhike your hind parts on home. Any questions?
Coach, it's a high school football team. We're not the Marines here.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here, painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys. Smoke and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men.
All right, great scene. Didn't happen, but a great scene. Amen. And so again, illustrating how perceptions can injure the opportunity to work together, but a perception of a shared purpose can overcome a negative perception of one another. It's a good point, isn't it? It's a great movie. Of course, great actor, amen. Denzel makes everything right when he gets on the screen. So, last points, how do you develop a healthy eyes? How do you develop healthy eyes? First of all, be objective. Second of all, see the good. See the good. There's something good to find almost in everything. Just look for it. Don't focus on what's bad only. Ignore distractions. Focus on what can be controlled, which is our own perception, our own reactions. Speak the word of God, amen? Speak God's word. What you can control, check this out. You can control your perceptions, your emotions, your judgments, your attitude, your desires, your decisions, your determination. You believe that? These are things you can control through the grace of God. Now, nothing happens without the grace of God. I mean, without God, we can do nothing. I mean, with God, all things are possible. And so what has been a failure for us, for example, you know, bad decisions, wild, crazy desires. I mean, things only God can help us deal with. Amen. But he helps us as he promised he would. Finally, let me give you the scripture I read this morning in my devotion this morning. This scripture came up in my reading, and this is a really powerful statement God made to Israel when they were in bondage in Babylon. God sent a word through the prophet Jeremiah to raise the hopes of the people. They got themselves in bondage. They rebelled and got in trouble, but now God's ready to bring them out after they repented and made things right. But he says this, God said, read with me, please, read, please. For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Isn't that something? If you read that scripture, I mean, often, it would fix in your mind. It would develop a new perception. You would think that, okay, I can't see what's coming the next 6 months. I have my concerns about the coming year. But God said, I know what I have planned for you. And the hint he gave was plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He says, I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Last question for you is this. If God has a plan for you, what should you do? Listen to me, class. If God says, I have a plan for you, what should you do? Ask God what the plan is. Get with God, amen? Because this is a promise for those who love God. Who loves God today? Raise your hand. Who loves God today? Yeah, see? And it's amazing how we get so much clutter and noise around us until we think the stuff that we're hearing is what is planned for us, or what a day brings is planned for us. I came in this morning. We should have children here today being taught, but Deacon Gibson came. I saw his truck was out there. He brings his truck. He takes the van and picks the kids up. He said, well, I got in the van, started up, and it was super loud, meaning somebody stole the catalytic converter for the third time. And there's two of them on there. So he couldn't drive it, too loud, see? So someone this morning on the church property crawled up under the van, cut out the converter, you know, it has some stuff in it. I guess it's valuable, whatever. So you know what? Those things happen. Doesn't change God. Don't change our plan. Get a new converter put on. Pick up kids next week. Amen. Keep right on stepping. Because in this world, you'll have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world. Let's all stand. Amen. Father, thank you for reminding us today of your faithfulness, of your goodness, of your grace, of your power.